Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that we can just come into your presence. I thank you for the gift of music, Lord. And I thank you for just allowing us to worship you, Lord. And I just pray now, Lord, that you just open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that you would just help us to see you this morning. That Christmas is about the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray for that, that he would rise in our hearts also, Lord. That this morning that we would see Christ and that Christ would be lifted up in our hearts and that you would give us peace, Lord, in knowing him. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to admit, when I was thinking about the Christmas message this year, the one word that came to mind was the Prince of Peace. I've just been thinking about it all month, and I can tell you when you are going to preach on peace, the one thing that I seem to experience the most in the last few weeks was no peace. And it just kept getting worse and worse as the weeks went by. So I'm asking for your prayer this morning because I'm a little unsettled. A little unsettled about peace because I don't really have a lot of peace in my heart right now. And I say that just because you can look around the world today. It's hard to have peace right now. It is. And so this message is going to start off in a downer. I'm going to give you a warning. And then we're going to reach, I hope, the Prince of Peace by the end. So just prepare yourself a little bit. The Prince of Peace is the title of the message. Peace and quiet to escape life for a moment. That's a lot of us. We all look for that. We want that for a moment. I think back a lot of years now, back to a TV commercial when a mom was standing, and I can look it up on YouTube, which just brought it back even more. But you can see a mom standing in the kitchen, and the kids are all screaming in there. Things are flying through the air, and she covers her ears, and she yells, "Calgon, take me away." And the next frame, you see her all comfortable in her big bathtub and, you know, in the bubbles, and she's just happy. But we all feel that way, don't we? We've had those moments in life where we just want to be taken away from the moment. We are all looking for an escape. We're all looking for peace. We all are looking to be whole, to be safe. And what we get a lot of times is brokenness. All my life I've seen and dealt with brokenness. I was reflecting back on this. I've seen and been part of broken relationships, divorce, addiction, war, alcohol, drugs, sexual abuse, death, cancer. It seems like it's never ending. It's all around us all the time. I deal with it. You deal with it. It's around us. It's always something. It's like sometimes you can't escape from it. I think of my mom, who is now facing possibly a third bout with cancer. And I remember her saying that cancer felt like a dog that was nipping at her heels and it was going to get her. Have you ever felt that way about something? The world is broken. And from the very beginning, humankind has been trying to find some way to fix it. We've invented works-based religions. I mean, you can study them. You can see how they do all this stuff, trying and trying to solve the problem. And in some religions, you just do it over and over again until you get it right. Just think about that. That's a system I don't want to be a part of. Yet it's out there. Or if we discipline of ourselves, if we follow this person, we follow that person, I follow this teaching, If everything falls into place, I'll have peace. We have sought peace in materialism. How many of you have bought something to make yourself feel better? I know about that. doesn't work. Just gets you fatter. We tie ourselves up into possessions. We think if we only had enough money, if we had this house, if I had this new car, if I had achieved this special height of social status, I would be somebody and I would know peace. But peace is elusive. It's like trying to hold oil in your hands. And in moments of peace that we do experience, they only last a short time and then they're interrupted by something. It's interesting when you Google the word peace, and it's amazing how fast it can do. Just think of it can calculate, this is just a thought, being a geek, 820 million hits in 22 seconds. It's astounding. But to think that there's 820,000 links to peace on Google. That means there's a lot of people who are spending a lot of time trying to find peace in some way, shape, or form. And there's a lot of people who are promising peace out there. Peace and security. You'll see it on commercials. You'll see it in all kinds of things. The prophet Jeremiah wrote about the priest of his day. And they were promising peace. Even though the people had totally forsaken following God, that they thought because they had the temple that God would never allow them to be destroyed. That they just lived life. And the priest would actually tell them that there will be peace. And all the while, they weren't turning the people towards righteousness or obedience to God, but they were telling the people what they wanted to hear for their own comfort. And this is what God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "They have treated my people's brokenness superficially, claiming peace, peace, when there is no peace." Instead of turning people towards repentance and holiness, the priests were saying to the people what they wanted to hear, to comfort, to secure their own comforts and their own job security. Just like then, and the real issue is our brokenness. He says they didn't address their brokenness. And the brokenness that we have and we all experience is brokenness with God. That's the reality we all face, is this brokenness with God. And all through the Bible, it addresses this issue. In fact, it talks about a time when there wasn't a time of brokenness, and it calls it shalom, the time of peace, that there was peace. And this peace has been broken. Maybe you've heard the word shalom before, and you never really knew what it meant, but its root is a Hebrew word. And it means, the root of it means to be whole. But the word also means like well-being. Carrying out the thought that of being healthy and being provided for. It also means the opposite of war. That means you have peace with all your enemies. It's shalom, and the picture goes back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis, when God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. That was shalom. God was with him. They were with him. They walked with him in unity, and they didn't have to worry about all the mess. Adam and Eve didn't worry about anything. Everything was provided for them. They were never in danger. There was nothing to be afraid of. They didn't have enemies to worry about. Death didn't exist. Sin didn't exist. They walked in perfect peace with God, who provided them everything they needed. It's a beautiful picture. And this was the shalom, and it was broken when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sinned. And since then, we've all been searching for shalom. We've all been trying to find that peace. The comfort and beauty of Scripture is that God has actively been working to restore that. That's the beauty. Because Scripture immediately starts to point to one who would come to restore shalom with God. Genesis 3:15, God curses the serpent who deceived Adam and Eve to disobey God. And he says this, "I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he will strike your head and you will strike his heel." Right in Genesis, we see a picture of someone coming who's going to crush the head of the serpent. From that moment sin entered the world, man has been struggling with broken relationship with God. But at the very same time, we see Scripture pointing to a person, to the one who would come and establish peace once and for all. The one who would come and redeem and restore man. The prophet Isaiah wrote about the servant who would become a divine gift to mankind. Some 700 years before the birth of Christ, he wrote about him. And I said the scripture in the opening of the service, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. His name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." A child would be given to us, and he would stand on the world stage and take gracious command. He would be Wonderful Counselor in that he would be able to make wise plans. He would be able to govern with wisdom. When was the last time you seen that? I just had to throw that one in. He would be Mighty God, that he would carry the title of the Lord himself. Everlasting Father, in that he would be the perfect protector and the perfect provider. And the Prince of Peace, he would rule forever and establish peace between God and man and between the nations. The birth of Christ, we see the Son come into the world and we celebrate his coming. At Christmas, we recognize this and we sing songs and we put up Christmas lights, recognizing him as the light to the world. We put up even an evergreen tree, and I know some people get excited about that one way or another. And I'll say, they'll say it comes from a pagan. You're right, it does. And I'll say this, God redeemed it. And if you don't think God can redeem a pagan, just look at yourself. That's the beautiful thing about God, is he comes in and he takes the ungodly and makes it godly. It's been done over and over again. We put up the evergreen tree to recognize eternal life that is found in Christ. We give gifts recognizing the gift that God gave us in his Son, Jesus Christ. As we look at the life of Jesus, we see that the people, his own people, didn't recognize him. They didn't herald him as a king. He was born in a stable with animals, among the poorest of poor. We read how he lived with nothing. He never owned a home. Think about that for a moment. He never owned a home. He never had material wealth of any kind. He never wrote a book. Jesus didn't write one thing down. He's not on a bestseller list. You'll find a bestseller book about him, but you won't find one that's authored by him, by his name anyways, by his spirit, but you won't find his name on it. He was never famous in any way that we would consider famous. He developed a small following, and I will tell you that most of the people that followed him were looking for miracles and food. And as soon as that wasn't available to them, they turned on him and they crucified him. The Jewish people were looking for a king to come and establish a kingdom now, to restore the nation of Israel now. But Jesus was thinking of a different kind of kingdom. not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom, in which he would draw all people, both Jew and Gentile, into the eternal kingdom. That's what he was looking for. Something the Jewish people weren't even thinking about at all. When he was arrested, the closest to him scattered. He was tried alone and crucified between two thieves. He suffered and died not like a king, but like a criminal. By doing so, he set the stage for the time to come when he would return a second time. He suffered and died for our sins and was buried, and on the third day he rose again and he ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God right now. And he reigns from heaven today. And one day he will return and restore all things unto himself for the glory of God. Until that day, until that happens, we live in the already but not yet. We live in the already, but not yet. The kingdom has been established. He is reigning, but it's not yet fulfilled. So where is our peace? Right? Where is our peace becomes the question. If that's the future event, and that's when I'm going to have all peace, the Prince of Peace will reign, where is my peace now? Jesus said this in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. My heart, your heart must not be troubled or fearful. The reality is that our peace isn't found being relieved of life in its present suffering. Our peace is found in Christ. The world offers temporary peace, but Christ offers everlasting peace. Peace, the peace that Christ offers, is not peace from something, but with someone. Because at the root of all our trouble, all our broken relationships, it all comes back to our broken relationship with God. Shalom has been shattered, and through Christ we can have peace with God. In Christ we are forgiven, we're atoned for, we have redemption, we are restored back into a right relationship with a holy and righteous God who created us in his image. God doesn't offer us a way of peace as the world understands peace, but he offers us peace despite our suffering. In fact, he uses suffering, and I know this will trouble some of you, he uses suffering to perfect faith. He uses suffering to perfect faith and to perfect peace. John 16:33, Jesus said this, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. Now listen carefully. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. Jesus doesn't promise an end to suffering yet. It's coming. But until that day, we must learn to walk with God through Christ. We have peace in knowing that we have a relationship with God, that once I was far away because of sin, and he has brought me close through the cross. I have confidence in this, that there will be suffering in the world, but I know that he will walk with me. He will walk with me. He will never forsake me. He will never abandon me. And even in the darkest moments, I know that God is with me. Because he has conquered the world. In this, I find rest. In this I have peace. In this we celebrate the Prince of Peace. Paul, in writing to the church in Ephesus, reminded them at one time they were separated from God, alienated and without hope, he tells them. They were without God and had no chance of knowing him. They were enemies of God, and through Christ, those who were far away were brought near through the blood of Christ. This is Ephesians chapter 2. Christ himself became their peace by reconciling man to God through the cross. And Paul writes this in Ephesians 2:17, when the Messiah came, proclaiming the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. My hope is this Christmas, all of you in this room, sitting here right now, would take inventory of what Christ has done in your life. That you would look back and you would see how God has walked with you. Even when it didn't seem like he was walking with you, if you look back now, it's hard to see it when you're going through the middle of it. But when you come out the other side, you see how God walked with you through that. He has never left you. When you face difficult times in your life, he was right there with you. Maybe it was a touch of someone's hand, a simple, I love you, a simple, I'm here with you, someone close to you. He was right there with you. I pray as you look into the world, and I pray you don't stick your head in the sand, but that you look. Look out there. See the mess. It should hurt you. Hearing a story this week of 130 kids being killed in Pakistan broke my heart for days, because I just could not imagine that. Sending your kid to school and then hearing a phone call or a message or some way you hear that 130 kids have been killed in that school. Imagine what would race through your mind if your kid was there. How would you feel? Not knowing would probably be worse than the knowing what happened. But that moment of not knowing, where is your kid? Is she alive? Is he dead? What? That happened this week. That's the ugliness of the world that we face right now. And there is only peace going to be found in Christ. And we have to share him with the world. It should drive us to that. Because he is the solution. I hope as you gather with friends and family, you will give thanks for the relationships you have. God has placed people in your life. Good and bad. There's a crazy uncle out there, I know. They're out there. You all are all thinking about him right now, aren't you? But he's there for a reason. To teach you how to love him. To share Christ with him. Or maybe you're that person. Maybe now you can say, well, wait a minute. I've been doing this wrong. I need to get my act together. Most of all, I hope you will celebrate the birth of Christ. And I pray that it's not just the birth of Christ that you look to, but you look to his coming again. Because he came once. He's coming again. That's going to be the day of celebration. This will pale in comparison to that day. Just imagine that for just a moment. Until that day, I pray God would fill you with his love and his grace, that you would know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that is in Christ. I also pray that if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, and it doesn't matter how long you've been sitting in a pew, if you've never put your faith in Christ. You haven't realized who Jesus was. And you've never truly just repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ. I pray that you won't wait. You'll do it this morning. That you'll put your trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The greatest gift that was ever given to mankind was Jesus Christ. For us, a child was born. For us, a son was given us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and his prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. And it's the zeal, I love that word, the zeal of the Lord of hosts who will accomplish this. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Prince of Peace, Lord. And I pray now, Lord, that I know sitting in this room right now, there are people who do not have peace. That maybe just for this moment, Lord, you would flood their heart with your presence. And that they would not put their trust in their own ways or their own ways of thinking or what they've always done, their own strength. But Lord, right now, that they would turn to you and give thanks. That they would turn to you, the Prince of Peace, and would just ask for help. That they would just lean on you, Lord. Lord, I pray for this world. I pray for your peace to come. I pray for the gospel to reach all parts of this world. That you would just open hearts and minds. And Lord, I just pray for your love and your grace and your mercy to flood this world. That we would all know the Prince of Peace, Lord. I pray for that. And Lord, I pray as we gather with our families this week, as we share presence, as we share fellowship, Lord, that at the heart of all of it would be Christ. That it would be the most important thing that we do, is to share in the love and the fellowship and the good graces of a good God who gave his Son. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.